Many hot days lie ahead of us, and for much of the region, the chance of any rain falling over the summer is quite small. So here comes the heart of the drought season. And with it, constant reminders that there are always ways to go about our daily business without using as much water as we're probably used to. In the city of Ashland, it's hard to move around town these days without seeing the blue signs that say, use water wisely. Increasingly, more stringent water restrictions are expected over the summer, but there are carrots with the sticks, too, like incentives for switching to drought-tolerant landscaping. Julie Smitherman is with us once again. She's the City of Ashland Water Conservation Specialist. Julie, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having me.
So what is the current water situation? I mean, I'm sure this has reflected many communities around the region, but it's a little more critical, I think, in Ashland.
Yeah, it is. It is a little more critical. This year, we were dealing with zero snowpack. And this is the first year that that's happened. Usually around this time of year, we'd have somewhere around 40 inches of snow in our watershed. And this year we have zero. And so our flows into the East and West Forks that go into Reeder Reservoir are very low. And actually they are flows that we would normally see in August or September.
So we're already like 3 months into it. It's acting like it would have been 3 months from now, way at the end of the water season. And this
yes.
is the beginning of the summer.
Yes. But fortunately, the community has kept our usage down to 4 million gallons per day, which is very good. Usually in the summer, we peak around 6.5 to 7 million gallons per day. So if we hold steady at around 4 million, we're doing very well.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm kind of curious about if there are comparisons with other communities. 4 million gallons per day in a community of what, 22,000 people?
Yes.
Is that fairly standard?
We increase our usage by about five times. So in the wintertime, we use 1.5 to 2 million gallons per day. And so we use 6.5 to 7, and that's about five times. And so that's quite a big increase, and maybe a little bit more than other communities.
The water restrictions that the city can put in place, there are four different levels of them, right? And are we already at level one?
No, actually, we're not in curtailment right
really?
Now. No. And we haven't even implemented our voluntary curtailment. Right now, we're just getting the message out there that this is something that could be happening this summer and is likely to happen this summer. Right now, we have a full reservoir, which is very good news. But that will soon start to decrease because of irrigation throughout the city. So the good news is that we still have a full reservoir right now, and we are not in curtailment, but there are four stages of curtailment. So stage one, two, and three, every resident or business will get an allocation. And if you happen to go over that allocation, you will be charged four times the rate in stage one, two, or three. And in stage four, you're charged 10 times the rate.
Ten times the rate.
Yes.
So does anybody actually get their water shut off? Does it ever get to that point?
Well, we've never gotten to that point before. We've only been into stage one, and that was in 2009. We also had a curtailment, and we entered into stage one, but that was as far as we had to go. We've never actually seen stage four. We've never had to implement that. But yes, if we do go into stage four and people are knowingly wasting water, they can get their water shut off.
Okay, we're a long way from that, obviously.
Yes,
but,
we are.
But it can happen. And I have to say that on the way into work this morning, across the main drag in Ashland, the Use Water Wisely banner, in addition to all the little waste level signs, was going up over the street. So you can't miss it. There's
no.
Use Water Wisely wall to wall. You mentioned you're not even in voluntary curtailment yet, though.
No. And I guess right now you could say that we're in a type of voluntary curtailment just by getting the message out and getting people prepared for the potential for a curtailment this summer. So in a way, we are in a phase of voluntary curtailment.
And are people calling a fair amount to ask about ways in which they can conserve water? I imagine the phone rings a fair
yeah,
amount.
Yeah, my phone has been ringing off the hook, in fact. Yeah, so I've been getting about 20, 25 calls a day with people who want to set up appointments for, we offer a couple of services, an irrigation evaluation service, as well as an indoor water evaluation as well. And so people are calling to schedule those appointments and figure out ways they can reduce their water use.
All right. And how long do the appointments take?
Oh, anywhere between an hour, hour and a half. It depends on the size of the property. Mm-hmm. And usually for the irrigation audits, we'll go through each zone of a customer's irrigation system and look for any design issues, any ways they might be able to water more efficiently.
So let's talk about lawns. Are there any estimates on how many of Ashland's homes lawns are covered in green?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I think our community is unique in that we're a lot of us are very much aware that lawns take a lot more water. And so I see a lot more drought-tolerant landscapes here in Ashland than in other communities, which is great. But we still do have a fair share of areas with lawn.
All right. So no good estimate to know.
No exact numbers. From what I've seen just out and about, I think it's about half and half.
So how much water does a green lawn use? I mean, is there any gallon figure for 1,000 square feet or 100
square
feet or something?
Yeah, actually, for about 1,000 square feet, you're estimated to use around 5,000 gallons per month, and that's 700 cubic feet, roughly. And typically, we find that customers use twice that amount because it's very difficult to keep an even distribution on lawns. Every blade of grass is a separate plant. So we find if there's a dry area in a landscape, typically you'll turn on your sprinklers for twice the amount of time just in order to water to that dry spot. So the savings can be pretty significant in going to a drought-tolerant landscape.
Wow, so 5,000 gallons a month for 1,000 square feet, and you say that often people use twice that?
Yeah, so you might see about 10,000 gallons used.
Wow, that is a lot of water.
It's
enough
is.
To fill one of those halfway decent-sized backyard swimming pools.
It certainly is, yeah.
So are there any restrictions in the city of Ashland that regulate no-water landscaping or drought-tolerant landscaping, that, you know, specify what it needs to look like, stuff like that?
Well, in our new lawn replacement program that we've started, we are asking that the lawn that's being removed be live, be irrigated, be well-maintained, and replaced with drought-tolerant landscaping. And that is actually helping to reduce the water use by anywhere between 20% and 60%. It depends on several variables: the size of the property, the shape of the current irrigation system, and several different variables go into that.
Julia Smitherman again is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's a City of Ashland Water Conservation Specialist. We're talking about an incentive program to help people replace their green lawns with more drought-tolerant landscapes. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange with questions or comments, or maybe some things you've done in your own property. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. So that's an interesting prerequisite. Then you're actually trying to replace not just the lawns that get somewhat ragged and ratty in the summertime anyway, but actually has irrigation, is green.
That's right. You know, and one of the best ways, and a lot we see this happen in Ashland, is that people just stop watering their lawns during the summer, and that is that's great. That saves a lot of water during the summertime, but we wouldn't be able to necessarily give a rebate for replacing that dead, dried up lawn.
You stopping sprinkling does not equal incentive.
Exactly, yeah. Because if you replace that lawn that you've never been watering before and you add new plants that you're going to be watering, you'll end up using more water than you used before. So we do require that we're able to show that you're going to be using less water in order to give you a rebate.
All right, so what do the rebates amount to, and is it based on a size thing? How are they geared?
Okay, so it's 75 cents per square foot of lawn removed, and that's replaced with drought-tolerant native plants, also served by low-volume irrigation, so drip systems, low-flow bubblers, or something called MP rotators. Those are really stream sprays, so they apply water much more efficiently than regular spray systems.
So 75 cents a square foot, if you have 1,000 square feet of lawn. Am I reading this right? You can get $750?
Yeah, so that 75 cents is up to 1,000 square feet. After that, from 1,000 to 2,000 square feet, it's 50 cents. And from 2,000 square feet to 3,000 square feet, it is 25 cents. So the maximum total rebate you could get for a 3,000 square foot area would be $1,500.
All right, but it's not chicken feed for sure. Now, does that kind of rebate, though, cover the cost of the actual landscaping and the installation of drip irrigation versus whatever you had before?
It's not going to cover the entire cost, and that's really going to depend on whether you hire someone to do the work or whether you do the work yourself. And you could get close, but we will only give you a rebate. We won't give you a rebate for more than what it costs for you to do the installation and do the project. So we do require that we see invoices and receipts from the project.
Okay. I was going to ask you how detailed the paperwork has to be. And you, we have a picture of you that we'll put up on Facebook later in the day, holding up the actual incentive application. Is this program brand new this year?
It is brand new this year. Yeah, we've been doing a couple pilot projects in the last couple of months just to see how it would go and what the savings would be. And those projects turned out wonderfully. And our customers have reduced their water use by at least 20%. I've looked at their consumption in the last couple weeks, and they've actually reduced by a lot. We currently have just launched it in the last month. We've launched the program, and we already have, in the last week, in fact, have 15 applications in process. They are on their way. They're working on their projects right now. We've been giving out the application to several customers, probably given out more than 30 in the last week. So it's become very popular. And just as a note, the launching of this program is very timely. We've been working on putting this program together for the last year and not anticipating that this year would be a drought year. And so the launching of the program is very timely with what we're facing this year.
Well, accidentally so,
yeah.
But yeah, it worked out fine. So mm-hmm. Interesting. So this was something the city was moving ahead on even without the knowledge that drought was pending.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And we have a lot of conservation programs, several, like I mentioned earlier, the irrigation evaluations and indoor water use analysis. We've run those and offer those to our customers all year long so people can find ways to reduce their water use in the long term as well.
I remember coming into contact with the water conservation section years ago in the city of Ashland as a reporter and noticing all the great gadgets. You had all sorts of low-flow shower heads and things you could stick on your sink and everything. How many people work in that division?
Oh, in the conservation division?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, it's pretty much me. Mm-hmm. I take care of as much of it as I possibly can. There are a couple other people that lend a hand here and there when they can, and we have a manager who does the back end work, and then I've also just today I have a new water conservation technician who's going to be helping me out for the summer.
All right, so not a very big department, but busy.
No, I am very busy.
Julia Smitherman, again, our guest on The Exchange, City of Ashland Water Conservation Specialist. We're talking about the program that provides incentives for the removal of green lawns. We're talking green irrigated lawns and replacement with more drought-tolerant landscaping. Join us on The Exchange with questions or comments in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Around the region, toll-free, 800-838-3760. And our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. In a situation, though, where you have the city urging this on, are there some places where there are covenants, codes, and restrictions within neighborhoods that require at least your landscaping to be kept green or something?
Yeah, we are asking customers who are going to participate in this program to check in with their HOAs to make sure that the conversion that they're proposing to do is going to be accepted within their neighborhood. There's also, if it's a larger area and there's common areas for multifamily, you may need to check with our planning department to make sure that there's nothing you need to do as far as with planning. And you just check in with them, check in with your HOA, and then move forward with the paperwork, and we can move forward with your project.
Are there a couple of templates that you provide for people who are thinking about going into the program? I mean, basically off-the-shelf plans for landscaping that they can just go, okay, I'll take that one. I'll take option A or option B or whatever.
Yeah, actually, I'm working on putting a couple of we ask that each customer who participates give us a sample site drawing, so they give us an idea of what they're going to be doing. And I've received a couple from some customers that are great, and I'll probably put those up on our website as examples. The other thing we have is our WaterWise landscaping website that we can send people to. That's at ashlandsaveswater.org. And that will give you many ideas on how to create a drought-tolerant lawn. We have several plant lists within that website on drought tolerance, also deer-resistant and fire-wise plants. Because if you live in an area, all throughout the city, really, we should be thinking about fire-wise plants as well.
All right, interesting. So a couple different things you can take care of there, deer and fire and, mm-hmm. and water at the same mm-hmm. time. We have some calls. Let's grab your headphones. So here is Linda in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Julie Smitherman about water conservation in the city of Ashland.
Hi, are you talking to me?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Julie, this is Linda, and you have come out to my house and done a wonderful water audit, and I'm on the plan. I'm watering. I do not have lawn. I took my lawn out years ago. But I have lots of rose bushes and annuals and perennials and shrubs, and I'm using half the water of last year, but everything is looking extremely stressed. And I'm wondering, what about trees? Can trees go without water, like our Doug firs and cedars? What about shrubs like snowball bushes, lilacs, mock orange? What about those plants? Do they need to have a certain amount of water to survive?
Yeah, some of those plants probably need a little bit more water than what you're currently giving them, and they're not as low water using plants as some of the other ones that we have on our website. With trees, usually our more well-established trees, a good deep soaking every month or a couple times per month through the summer should be sufficient. Anything that's new,
even in the granite soil?
Yeah, and what you want to do is water it very slowly. So you don't want to just throw an open-ended hose at the base of the tree. You want something that can drain through the soil very slowly so that the roots can take up that water. So my suggestion is getting a couple of 5-gallon buckets and punching a couple holes in the bottom and letting it and fill those up and letting the water drain through the soil slowly.
Okay. That sounds like a good suggestion. And then what are the advantages or disadvantages to the NPR rotators, which I have, and then bubblers and drip? In past years, I've had trouble with the drip, like clogging, and I lost lots of plants when I tried to do that a few years ago. Are the NPR rotators as good as drip, or how much more water do they use?
Well, they still have a very low application rate. And with the MP rotators, they really work well in areas where you have high vegetation or you have a very densely planted area. The drip emitters work better for areas for plants that are more sparsely planted. And then also with drip and even with the MP rotators, it's important to have a filter on the line in order to get some of that debris out, because those emitters can get clogged over time. And that's why it's also important to do an inspection of your irrigation system every couple of weeks.
Every couple of weeks, really?
Yeah.
Not annually?
No, I would do it every couple of weeks through the summer.
All right, Linda, thanks for the questions. Let's go to John and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking water conservation with Julie Smitherman.
So I had a quick comment as a master gardener. Oak trees and fir trees are fine. You don't need to water those. But my question was, in Eugene, where it's a little wetter, I don't have to water my lawn. It
mm-hmm.
will go dormant
mm-hmm.
in the summer, and then it just turns green again
mm-hmm.
in the winter. Can you do that in Ashland, or do you have to keep it wet like you would in Reno or someplace? So can you let your lawn go dormant?
Yeah. Some lawns can go dormant. There are different varieties, and some do better than others. And so some areas of lawn you will see around here that do go dormant during the summer, but they always come back during the spring. It's those lawn areas that are continually watered through the summer to keep that green, pristine look are the landscapes that we're really targeting and encouraging people to remove and replace with drought-tolerant plants.
Linda and John, thanks for the questions and comments. The issue I find with trying to let your lawn go water-free in the summertime is that the drought-tolerant things, the things that are more drought-resistant, tend to come in and settle.
Mm-hmm.
If you get any foxtails in one corner of your lawn, they're going to be all over your lawn
mm-hmm.
in just about no time at all.
Mm-hmm. And you want to make sure you pull those out of there real fast, because they'll be competing for the water from the rest of your plants.
Yes, and they get stuck all over your socks and all
things
like
that.
Oh, yeah,
and you don't want that.
All right, so we talked about the whole incentive program then. And then, so this is not a cash payment, though, right?
This will, as soon as the project is complete, you will get a rebate check
in
the mail.
Okay.
Yes.
So it's not just a change in your taxes or something.
No, it's not. And the most important thing to remember for this summer, because of our drought situation that we're facing, we are asking anyone who's participating in the rebate program to wait until October to plant any new plants. So they can get their project started now. They can take pictures of their lawn now, and that I would suggest doing that as soon as possible if you are going to participate. But then you can remove your lawn. You can set it up, get the mulch in, set up your irrigation system, and then in October you can plant your new plants. And that's when a final inspection will be done. I will come out and take a look, and I will give you a rebate approval form, and then we'll go forward and process your rebate.
All right, so the effect of this then is you take out the green lawn now.
Mm-hmm.
You begin to make the plants mm-hmm. to plant, but no actual planting until October. So
right.
nothing's actually going to require the use of water through the entire summer.
Exactly.
Very smart of
yes.
the city of Ashland, isn't it? So is this a pilot program? Is this going to be a one-time thing, or do you think it'll be used in future years?
Oh, we hope to be able to use it in future years. And it'll depend on the interest we get from the community, of course. As far as it looks right now, we have a huge interest. And so we have a limited budget. And so we believe that we can get through this year with the budget we have, but we'll need to ask for more money in the next couple of years. And the rebates come on a first come, first serve basis. So if you're wanting to do this project this year, it's important to get your application in early.
Did it come through a grant, or did the City of Ashland, did the City Council just allocate money for this?
We've been budgeting for this. Mm-hmm. So this has been, this was planned 2 years ago to enable us to offer this program. So really, we've been planning it for a couple of years.
All right. So what, again, would be the maximum rebate for somebody replacing lawn?
Would be $1,500.
$1,500 is mm-hmm. the maximum you can get. Okay, mm-hmm. that'll be probably more than a couple hundred here, a couple hundred there.
Yeah, and it'll definitely help offset the cost of the conversion.
Okay, so ashlandsaveswater.org is one place to get suggestions, and I might as well get a phone number out there, too, for folks to call.
541-552-2062, and also www.ashland.or.us/conserve for all of our other conservation programs.
Make sure all those are linked on Facebook, 541-552-2062. Julie Smitherman is City of Ashland Water Conservation Specialist. Thanks for joining us once again on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
That'll do it for this hour of the Exchange. Coming up in hour number two, why we might actually be alone in the universe. We'll talk to the author of the book, Lucky Planet.